Let us pray. Open the ears of our hearts so that we may hear God's voice and the voices of those around us. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Amen. I invite you to be seated. I grew up in Saskatoon. I think most of you know that. I grew up from grade 2 forward on an amazing little crescent called Middleton Crescent, and I have at least one friend in the crowd that lived there with us. And you know, it was a great neighborhood. There was lots of love, there was lots of, those were the days when, I think my parents lost their house keys for about 20 years. They really didn't lock their house. There was no fear or concern. We had a dog, mind you, but really people just came and went, and you trusted the neighborhood, and we looked out for each other, and if kids were running around, one mom would phone the other, and the network worked, and everybody knew where everybody was. Our house, we had over 58 Middleton. You really need all that detail. But if you've ever watched shows like Happy Days or any of these other sort of 60s or 70s shows, we kind of captured that era. As teenagers, let me just say that our house wasn't the quietest, calmest place on the Crescent. We had a lot of fun, and you could hear dirt bikes fired up at all hours of the night, and we had an above-ground swimming pool in the back, and we would gather in there and just have great, great times. And I was thinking of it this morning as I was thinking about the joy of Christian love. They'll know we're Christians by our love, and that we should experience joy. And today should be a joyous day in the life of the church. We're just on the cusp of Pentecost, one more week, and it will be the day of Pentecost. So as we kind of complete the Easter season on this seventh Sunday of Easter, it's a time of joy, it's a time of beginning the journey of the Holy Spirit, and as we heard last week, and more this week even. So in Scripture, elsewhere in readings, not today, but in James chapter 1, it says, "Consider it pure joy, my sisters and brothers, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance." So here in Scripture, we're actually told to be joyous even when we're having trouble or when things are going not quite exactly how we might like. Well, you know, that's amazing. And when I think about it, and I think about us being the church and us celebrating week in and week out despite things that go on in the world around us, in our own families, in our own church life, that sometimes could discourage us, I think the coming together Sunday to Sunday is the anchor. It's the fabric that pulls us together and keeps us in that place of joy. But there's another part to that, another component, and we heard it so well in the gospel today, and that is that Jesus prays for us. And that just blows me away when it takes my breath away to think of Jesus praying for you, for me, for us. And you know, in this gospel reading, he's not speaking to the disciples. We can get confused and think this is part of the farewell discourse. It's actually the end of his farewell to his disciples. So we are under the impression that perhaps he's just speaking to them. But actually, he is in prayer, and they are within earshot. They're hearing his prayer. And you know that often prayer is very private. Other times, if you pray with someone, and you actually hear them pray, it's kind of an intimate moment. It's kind of an insight to who they are. It tells you a lot about their personality. So these disciples had the privilege of actually being in the presence of Jesus as he prays. And he doesn't stop with just those around the table. He does pray specifically for them at one point, last reading just before this one. And then he shifts into praying for all believers, all who have been impacted by the words that the disciples have taught and the deeds that they have performed with Jesus. So by association, we go right back to that place and we're prayed for. And let me pose you this question. Who in your life spoke to you about faith or spoke to you about God or spoke to you about Jesus or the Holy Spirit in a significant way, either early in your life as a child or early in your Christian life if you came to faith at a later time? If you could pause for a minute and think of a very significant person in your life who influenced you. I can think of a number, but one of them is my grandfather on my dad's side, and he was a man of few words, but he modeled by being a man of the church all his life. And he did it, whatever was going on around him and around us, he was still anchored to the church. The exciting part of that is if you start doing genealogy, and I won't take us too far down that path, but if you connect it back and back and back and back and back, it connects eventually to those disciples. So those around the table, those for whom Jesus prayed, and then those present while Jesus prayed for us, connects right down to you and to me. So again, very exciting words. He also prayed specifically for something, and that was church unity. And, you know, this gets brushed over. People, oh yes, he would like the church to be all one and everybody to be together. Well, in this day and age of denominationalism, it seems like a fantasy. And yet, if you've ever been at a really good ecumenical gathering when things are hitting on all cylinders and people have come together, for me, there's no more joyous moment than a whole room full of church people from a variety of different places coming together and worshiping God. You know, a small sampling of that was on our Good Friday as we gathered with the Roman Catholic parish, and when we did the walk with the cross, and when we finished over at Our Lady of the Assumption. I would pray that we'd have, you know, hundreds of churches all together under the same umbrella. We can argue that we have too many human differences and we'll never get there, and yet it's what Jesus prayed for. It's what Jesus prays for, I should say. He continues to pray for that. And he also prays that by our love and unity, we will show the doxa. Doxa is a Greek word for glory. He speaks of the glory of God. By having church unity, we point to the glory of God. So how do we do that in practical terms, you and I? It may not be possible for us to gather all the denominations and get under one roof, but what is possible as individuals is to speak well of friends in other denominations and other places. Hold Christian friends up in a high place as fellow Christians, as people who walk with us, who worship with us. Among other things, today we are marking Jerusalem Sunday, so we're in solidarity and praying with the church in Jerusalem. And there's an extremely active Anglican church in Jerusalem today. A former priest of our diocese, Richard LeSueur, is a key part of that from the Canadian perspective. And there's a Companion of Jerusalem opportunity that you can find on the National Church website if you wish to know more about it or get connected. But we pray worldwide. And as we experience full communion with the Lutheran Church in Canada, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Canada, we experience a foretaste of what it can be like to be together. We have Lutheran pastors in our Anglican diocese right here, several of them actually, appointed to parishes that are now in charge of those parishes. So it's happening. It's happening in slow increments, and there's people from whom we may feel far divided, and yet if we drop those words like division and search for ways to be Christian, to show God's world love to the world, it also helps those critics out there. I don't know about you, but I meet people all the time and say, well, if you church people could get it sorted out, maybe I'd come and hang out with you. But, you know, they see us having our own internal stuff, and I think that we have to recognize the damage that does. And it's not to just gloss over it all and say everything's wonderful, just like the chocolate cake. Sometimes our ingredients aren't as tasteful by themselves, and we need to find ways to bring them together, stir them up, put them in the oven, and have something good come out of it. But we can vehemently disagree with each other and still see God in the other, and still name that friend of ours as a strong Christian person with convictions that may be different than ours. In the psalm today, Psalm 97, one of the things that happens is God shows up. God simply appears. God is there. And I think that's something we have to remember. We can always rely on God to be fully present, for God to come in and be part of. He experiences our joy. He experiences our challenges. And speaking of challenges, in the book of Acts, we have Paul and Timothy arrested. So there they are in jail, and then we have that amazing scene where they don't escape. And having worked in a correctional facility myself as a chaplain, that's an amazing story. And then the conversion of the jail guard and his family is another amazing story. But there's a story within the story that gets glossed over. That's the woman possessed by the Pythian spirit, the spirit of divination. This whole dispute that got them arrested started with an argument over a slave girl. And we almost miss the fact that she's a slave girl. And you know, this poor slave girl, by the removal of this ability to do divination, actually gets a lower status as a slave. She drops in her priority as a slave. So she becomes a more oppressed slave, a worse off slave than she was in the beginning. And in fact, she sort of mocks the men and points to them being enslaved as well. And I think that there's a little bit of Gaia's humor there if you actually look at it. And so I think that we need to keep in mind that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the whole spirit of the love of Christ that we're talking about today is also in us so that we can be the ones to stand up and speak for those that cannot speak for themselves, to ensure justice for those being crushed. Yes, we speak up for the poor and the helpless, and we see that they get justice. That's actually a quote from Proverbs 31. And you know, sometimes that's easy, sometimes that's hard. And yet, it's our duty, and it's part, again, of showing our Christian love to the world. It's one thing to say that we care, it's another to even offer things up in prayer, it's yet another to roll up our sleeves and get our hands dirty and to speak and to take risks and to trust that God and the Spirit leads us in that. So I say to you, look at the issues of the world today and ask yourself, where is my voice helpful? Where is the voice of our church helpful? Where can we speak and be strong and be solid and be together and to show love? And so this end of the Easter season, this last Sunday in Easter, as we prepare for the amazing day of Pentecost, that invocation of the Holy Spirit, that birth of the church as we know it in the world, the birth of the early church, and that church that we model ourselves after, let us be prayerful for the Holy Spirit to enter into our lives. Let us be prayerful and that we can be a response to the prayer of Jesus. We can show that love for one another. We can stand in unity and we can be one together. For this and for our day together and our week together and our season together, I give thanks to God and pray for each of you this day and always. Amen.